We'll call it to order. Regular meeting, September 7th, Finance Committee. Comments from the public. Anyone?
I have no hands raised, no chats, but okay. we have figured out how to raise our hands. So I know that everybody who's on here is is a staff member except for one. So welcome.
Okay, so this will be Paula, I believe, Finance Monthly Updates.
Yes, that is me. Good morning, everyone. So just kind of feel like a little bit of a broken record here as far as our finance reporting goes. We're training a lot of new staff, and in the process of the transition between Mamie and Trevor, we found a lot of invoices that were outstanding for the 2021 fiscal year that hadn't been completed. And a lot of them were partial. They were partial receipts. They were partial paid. So he spent quite a bit of time in the last couple of weeks going through and determining if they can be closed out and if we need to close them out and reissue a new PO for them, or if they should be just be closed out altogether without any receipts. Some of them are in the thousands of dollars. So we want to make sure that we're being very careful about posting this information accurately. So we're still trying to clean up 2021 with all of our financial stuff. And then we've also found some payroll reporting things that needed to be cleaned up as well. So that's as far as our budget reporting and all other fiscal reporting. Regarding the ERP, we had some updates. We sent back some system requirement concerns that Tyler had sent to us and said, you know, the system doesn't do this. And so we sent our responses back, and they came back last week with their responses as far as workarounds or customization, and kind of resolved a lot of the questions that I personally had regarding the system functionality. And so I think we're good. We're looking really good as far as what their proposal is. And we're planning on scheduling a demo with them, an in-person demo fairly soon. So we're looking forward to having all of the staff review that personally and ask a ton of questions, because the system will affect everything that they do on a day-to-day basis. As far as recruitments go, we're still recruiting for accounting manager and accountant positions. We did interview an accounting manager last week. We're hoping to have a follow-up interview with her next week. So, and if all goes well, hopefully we will be able to fill that position. The accountant positions, we're still holding off on that. We have Minaj, who's doing an amazing job filling in. And we hired Cindy Sun. She started today. She's a retired annuitant. So she's going to assist us with wrapping up a lot of our bank reconciliations and helping us with the 2021 audit and getting that started with Ingrid. And that's kind of where we're at. We're still working on the rebranding in the Indeed website. And we're still contracted with the temporary agencies to help us when we need to bring somebody on temporarily. So that's where we're at with that. Any questions?
Paula, it's John. I just had a question in regard to your comment in the report that you put in there, where you know, we have this problem of what you call areas of reach,
yes,
which I guess translates into geographically undesirable. Is there anything we can do? And a lot of companies do this now on a pre-tax basis, where they contribute to overall commute costs?
You know, it's certainly something that we could look into. Really, the area of reach is more of a proximity. So we were just advertising Sacramento as opposed to Sacramento County. And so that really is what that means, is that we're expanding the area which we're advertising in. You know, it was originally geared towards just the Sacramento area, but now we've gone countywide. So hopefully that will bring in more candidates. And I think it has in some cases. The accounting technician position that we posted had a lot of candidates, probably a lot more candidates than we had anticipated. And we're still seeing the accounting manager and accountant positions. We're seeing, you know, them start to trickle in again as well. So, but it's definitely something that we could look into as far as the commute. We do have other options. You know, we could look at, you know, telecommuting as an option. You know, there's some things that we can do to offer. I know a lot of, I think one of the things that I'm looking at right now is our benefits packages. You know, they're not consistent with a lot of other districts or cities or counties in the sense that we don't offer a lot of benefits to bring people in. You know, there's not a big draw when you get, you know, 40 hours of vacation a year, when other places offer you 2 weeks of vacation, you get 80 hours or you get 96 hours, you know, or for exempt staff, you know, the admin, you know, you get admin leave of 40 hours when other places offer 100, depending on the classification. So it's really, really more of those types of things that we need to take a look at that's going to draw in more people and make it a more appealing package when we hire.
Right. It'd be interesting. I don't know how we would do this, but it'd be interesting to know throughout the district employees what our average commute is in terms of miles. I would imagine it's fairly significant. You know, I don't want to create a big project here, but I think even when we attract these people initially, I'm not sure that over time that inconvenience and length of the commute does not contribute significantly to retention. So at some point, maybe we could do something to understand at least, you know, throughout the district, how far these folks are coming. I know some of them come from a really long way.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
It's certainly good to look at. You know, it's one of the things that, you know, is kind of a little bit of a downside to being out in this rural area is that not many people live within the rural area, and a lot of people want that close proximity to where they work, so they have better work-life balance. So I could absolutely look at it.
Okay. All righty. Anything else on your report?
I think that's it for me. Tom, did you have anything you wanted to add?
No, I don't have anything to add right now. It's just we're happy that we're making a little bit of progress. I do want to add, when Paula says we're, you know, onboarding employees, we're onboarding temporary employees, Robert Half and account temp type employees, because we aren't filling the full-time positions. As we fill the full-time positions, we will quit using the temporary agencies. So, and that's part of the struggle, is we spend a lot of time and effort and money training people, and then they go elsewhere. So it just kind of goes with the difficulty of the work and the fact that we have to simplify how we do our business, and which is what we're well underway of doing. So,
right. Okay, we can move on to item four, discussion on discontinuance of water shutoff. Tom, is that you?
It could be either Paula or I. You want to take it, Paula?
Sure, I can. Basically, we have not heard any different, but at the end of this month, the governor is set to expire the water shutoff moratorium. So at this point, we're still going to move forward with this, and just wanted to throw that out there to all the residents who are past due on their bills, that they probably should think about getting those updated or get on a payment plan if they need to, so that we don't shut off water. That's the last thing we want to do. We want to get everybody up to speed, get all of their payments in and on time, or on a payment plan if they're not able to. There's also county, is it the CEFA, Amelia?
I think it's CERA. I think it's
CERA. That's it.
S-E-R-A.
Yes, the CERA. I believe we have that on the website that allows for applications for assistance for residents who are unable to pay their bills. So there are other options out there.
And Siri is specifically for residents who can't pay their rent and their utilities, but they have to be renters.
Okay.
So.
Well, that still might have some application. I mean, there's quite a few of them in the community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. So until we're noticed otherwise, we would move forward with that water shutoff removal of the moratorium. And so starting October 1st, we would start contacting those customers and letting them know that, you know, this is how we're planning to roll out water shutoff program moving forward. So that's where we're at with that.
Okay. Anything further on this item?
Yeah, did we ever adopt the debt collection that you proposed a while back?
Did we adopt it?
Or did we do anything with it?
Yes, I am working with CB Merchant, and we're going to be sending them after the October 1st date, we'll be sending them all of those significantly outstanding bills. And so that way we'll get them started with those. Those are primarily the ones that are the final bills that weren't paid that had to go through escrow. There are a couple that have been outstanding for a considerable amount of time. And we have been working with them to try and get them paid, but these particular customers have not been following the payment plan. And so we'll be submitting those as well. So yes, we did move forward with that.
Thank you.
Anything further here?
Not for me.
Okay, item 5, consider a resolution to recognize Dick Brandt's contribution. I brought this forward and I think this is what is well overdue. Dick continues to advise us in a lot of different areas. I know Tom's met with him frequently, and my association with him goes back to the 1990s. And when you consider all of the things that he has done for the district, including the founding of it, I think it's time that we do something to recognize him. So what I had in mind was perhaps approving or moving this forward to the board to vote on it in our coming meeting. And then maybe we could do an actual presentation of it the following month. Because I'm reasonably sure there are a lot of folks in the community who have worked with Dick over the years and would want to attend this. So if there is no comment or suggestion or problem with doing it this way, I'd like to recommend we forward it to the board. Marty, do you have anything here?
That seems like a good idea.
Tom, anything?
I think it's a good timing, John. Dick Brandt came to one of the security work group meetings, and it was good to see him. And it's, you know, out of his, he knows everything about the early history of the district and was the most key feature in the entire process of running the business, of going through the legal aspects of forming the district and formulating some of the many documents that we still live by. And I think the timing is right. We're with all this development going on and the district surpassing the 3,000 hookup limit, which requires us to start doing urban water supply stuff. I think the timing is excellent to recognize Dick's contribution to how we got to where we are, and to let people understand that, you know, it wasn't a simple process to create this beautiful community. So I support this.
And there's, you know, when I wrote this, these are only the things that, you know, I specifically recall, some of which were even predate me. A lot of this was done in 82 and 84. I didn't get here till 86. And there are a lot of other things that aren't even in here. I mean, he was instrumental in the legal work that preceded the building of the wooden bridge that Randy built. So I really would like to do something a little more out of the ordinary, other than just, you know, pass the resolution and then hand it to him. So why don't we plan to do that then? Why don't we vote on it and state at the meeting that, you know, we plan to do something a little more formal in the following meeting, perhaps in October.
So you want to, just to be clear, do you want to take this to the board meeting next week at all, or do you want?
Yes. To- yeah. 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 I want to approve it. So in effect, it is approved at the end of the meeting, but the actual presentation of it, you know, I think maybe we could postpone until the beginning of perhaps the October meeting, so we can, you know, number one, contact Dick, and number two, let some of the folks in the community know that we're going to do this, who might want to come over and attend.
Well, and it kind of falls under the scope of almost a historical perspective of a little bit of the history of the district and Dick's role in some of the key parts of it. And maybe there's some level of historian out there who can speak to this in a pretty succinct format and give people a chance to put together a small presentation.
Yeah. Yeah. I know, for example, you know, people that have been in and around all these boards for all these years, Mike Martell and myself and Randy and even Ed Krause and Suzanne, you know, have worked really closely with him over the years. And so I'm, like I said, I'm sure there's a lot of people who would be interested in showing up.
Okay.
All righty. So then, Marty, you're in sync with moving this forward to the board?
Sure.
Okay. Is that all we need to do here with that one, Tom?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. We'll just present it as an item that either in October, if it makes sense, that we're going to formally adopt this resolution thanking Dick Brandt for his work, and hopefully put together a presentation that, you know, people can see, and so people can show up and shake Dick's hands. And
yeah, great.
I like this a lot.
And then there's also a plaque, so that'll give me a chance to have the
plaque. Amelia, you will be the vice president in charge of plaques.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
One more thing for my resume. I love it.
Okay.
Resume. Okay,
perfect.
Yeah, that's as she tires from her commute. Okay. So we can move on to director comments and suggestions. Marty, do you have anything?
Yeah, I'd like to hear an update on the security survey, about the meetings and what we're going to do next.
Would you like to hear that now?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we held, and it's a good point. It's a finance committee thing. We held four work group meetings, I believe 2 weeks ago, and Timothy McClarney drove up for the meetings, or he flew up for the meetings, and he conducted them. And he's gotten back to me with a couple comments that I need to run by Dick Shanahan relative to the approach of the questionnaire and the scope of the questionnaire. And what Tim came out with from his message to me was that everybody who attended the meetings, the work group meetings, agreed that they wanted more security. And overall, there was a willingness to increasing payments for security. And just a reminder, this is no longer a question of amending Measure J. This is a question of supplementing the current special tax with the second special tax. And a second special tax that would include a little bit more flexibility with expansion or contraction as the need for security increases or decreases. It obviously won't decrease anytime soon. But he's just, his concern is if we go with the general, everybody wants quite a bit more, it's going to be a number that's going to be hard to absorb for most, and it won't have a good likelihood of passing. So he's thinking about ideas for making a vote more palatable, trying to package it in a way that, you know, we can be successful if we decide to spend the money to do the educational and the legal work associated with an initiative. And I believe I'm going to have something to say at the next board meeting. I'm working with Tim now.
Okay.
Yeah, I think one of the things that, I don't know if concerned is the right word, but how many people total did we have that participated in the work groups?
I would say 32 is the number.
Yeah, and that's good. And from the standpoint that I think that the 32 most eager folks to join and contribute are perhaps not quite in line with the overall perception of the community. And I don't know that. Obviously, this is why we're doing the process. So I don't know what more we could do to test this other than to do the questionnaire and put it out there. But, you know, I would be concerned that the questionnaire center completely around the 32 people that we heard in the four focus groups. I don't know if that makes any sense the way I'm saying it, but
no, you know, that makes
there is there may be a disconnect that we haven't measured yet as to what the perception of the whole community is versus what the perception of the 32 folks in the groups was or were.
And there are options, and Timothy and I are going to talk about that, and it may be that we bring it to the board, and that's why we got to talk to Dick Shanahan to see if this is something we could bring to the board in a workshop setting or a closed session setting, or if it needs to be a formal board meeting to again discuss this at greater length. I don't think, you know, we may learn a lot through the poll, which may tell us, well, we need to refine our polling and decide something else. I don't know. It's hard to, you're kind of at that stage where we're trying to get to the next point. And the next point for the board is to see the proposed questions. Timothy is, after being here and listening to who he listened to and, you know, discussing it with us as a group, he thinks that there might be a better way to package it. And before we decide to go that route, we need our board, or maybe it's just the work group needs to be have a discussion about it. And the work group for this is, who's on, is there an ad hoc committee for this? I forget.
Not that I know.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. So I'm gonna talk to Dick about our options and then hopefully have something for the next board meeting. We aren't in a time crunch yet. If a couple months go by and we haven't done much, then we're starting to look at a time crunch.
The only other comment I have going forward is, and you know, with all the years that I spent doing what I did, you know, I can't tell you how many of these things I participated in, but our focus was different in the private sector in that we were actually looking for how much we could sell and what the best way to sell it would be. In this case, personally, I'm not interested in selling anything. I'm interested particularly in doing as best we can what the general community wants. So as we, just from my standpoint, I'm not trying to craft something that will guarantee that the measure will pass. I'm trying to craft something that, to the best of its ability, can tell us what it is the public wants us to do.
Okay.
And again, I'm only one of five, you know, that's just my, you know, my personal take on it.
Well, the whole purpose of bringing somebody like True North in is to make sure that if you do go through the expense of taking something to the voters, that it has a likelihood of passing.
Right.
Otherwise you're just wasting money, which is why we do the poll first. And I think his comments relate to, if we just focus on this narrow discussion about more money for security, then he doesn't feel like there's going to be a whole lot of ability to pass something significant. Maybe I think he's kind of leaning towards if we can be more specific, and I don't want to speculate everything he's got in mind. He just says he wants to talk about it more, because if I speculate, I could be wrong, and I don't want to be wrong and then mess up.
The way we're talking about this here, and again, it's just my opinion, is it, I think this would lend itself more to a board workshop than it would to some formal approach to it at a regular board meeting.
Hmm.
It might also, and you know, you could think about this, because I don't know if what I'm telling you is right or wrong. In that workshop, number one, it would give people the opportunity to come and view it. Of course, they could do that at a board meeting, but if you wanted even at that point to open that discussion to more public comment, I think legally you would be able to do that.
I think if you had a workshop, yeah, you could do almost anything, and as long as it's in the public.
So, you know, I'll leave that to you guys. I'll leave that to you guys to figure out. But, you know, again, you know, I think that maybe is a better approach than to just run this by the numbers formally through a board process. Maybe we have just a focused discussion on this whole issue of the questionnaire, to see if we can't get it right.
I'm interested in your thoughts on a board workshop. If we were to do a board workshop, would you want to try and do it via Zoom?
Work? Only if absolutely mandated by law, in my opinion. I mean, no. No.
Well,
I think the committee meetings, I think as we've done Zoom committee meetings, have been fantastic. I love this process. Everything beyond that, everything I've been to, like RMA stuff and everything where they've done it that way, it's in my opinion, again, it's just a waste of time. But yeah, if we could do it in person, I mean, I'm all for doing it that way.
Okay.
So Marty, any comments or anything else?
I don't see much difference between a board meeting and a workshop. It's still the same format, except it's focused on one subject. So,
yeah, and yeah, you're right. That's in some respects, that's right. It does just by the fact of what it is, focus it and isolate it on one particular issue. And I think in terms of time, how much time we'd want to spend on it. Maybe a board meeting, it just overwhelms it, and you know, we wind up with some 4-hour thing. So, but anyway, we'll leave that to you, Tom, to figure it out.
Okay.
Are there any other comments, directors, staff, any other public comments, anything? Not hearing any, we can move to item 7, which is adjournment. We'll see everybody. What's the date of our board meeting?
We have a board meeting on Wednesday, September 15th, and we will have a closed session. So it will begin at 4 p.m.
Okay, super. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Take care.
Bye.